So this week's parsha, if you haven't noticed, has lots and lots and lots of repetition. And as I said to someone before, the good side of that is that there's very little Rashi. Rashi doesn't have to repeat everything from the last number of parshiot. So what I do want to say is that the repetition is not just limited to the discussion about the Mishkan. The repetition is also, to a certain extent, I don't want to say 100%, but it's to a certain extent also regarding the first couple of psukim, regarding Shabbos. Vayakel Moshe es kol adas b'nei Yisrael vayomer lehim eila dvor meshet tzivo Hashem lasos osam. These are things that God commanded. Shesh yamim te'osem alacha v'yom ha'shvi'i yelachem kodesh Shabbos shabboson la'ashem kol ha'osa v'lom mocha yumas lo svar esh b'chomo shoseichem b'yom ha'shabbos. Now, I'm not going to say that there's nothing new over here, because there is new. But what I will say is that this is not the first time that Shabbos has been mentioned in the Chumash. It's not the first time that Shabbos has been mentioned in Sefer Shmos. It's not even the second time. It's not even the third time. It's not even the fourth time. More? The fifth. Not Mara. I wouldn't count Mara. I count the month. It's right after Mara. So that itself causes us to ask a whole question. Why is it that Shabbos has to be mentioned so many times? Why couldn't we be a little bit more efficient or effective? So Shabbos and Bereishis, let's leave that alone right now, because Shabbos and Bereishis doesn't concern us. Why doesn't Shabbos and Bereishis concern us? Because there's nothing about us in there. Shabbos and Bereishis is totally what we can call theocentric. There's nothing to do with man, it has to do with God. God created on the 6 days, God rested on the seventh day. There's nothing there about, and therefore man. There's no therefore man. Even if we get to the first reference to Shabbos, and I'm deliberately not counting Mara, because I don't want to get up to six, and Mara doesn't say anything. So yeah, in Rashi it says Shabbos. One of the reasons that Rashi is motivated to say Shabbos over there is to deal with the differences in the Seris HaDibros and Dvarim versus in Shmos. Kasher Tzivi Sicha, so where's that? So the ones that he says were by Mara, those are the ones, Kasher Tzivi, as I commanded you. When? Okay, all the way back by Mara. So there's a problem there that needs to be solved. By the Mun, we have a double portion falls on Friday, and then the people come and they question. And Moshe says, no, that's what I told you. Which, by the way, that would make it sound like there was something before. That's the other thing. Although there even, I can possibly theorize, again, I don't want to overstate this, but I can possibly theorize that it's nothing to do with man. It's a God thing. So you say it's a God thing. Yeah, God doesn't work on Shabbos. So therefore, the Mun factory is closed on Shabbos. Mun is not falling. But not because of us. It's because for Kodesh Baruch Hu, kiviyachol, I would say, that they have rest. Which means the Mun is not any piece of evidence that this affects us in any way. But I'm saying, I still could have said. So the Mun factory is closed. Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't work. The first Shabbos, which is really of interest to us, is going to be by the Seris HaDibros. And even there, we don't know what to do with it because of the whole Shomer V'Zocher B'Dibur Echad. Right? Because do we look at the two of them together, or do we look at them separately? The way that it's written over here, Zocher is Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. Why in L'Chadodi is it Shomer V'Zocher, not Zocher V'Shomer? In Chazal, it's always Zocher V'Shomer. Why did he change it to Shomer V'Zocher? Because he wanted to stick his name in there. If his name was Zalman, then it would have been Zocher V'Shomer. Right. So, Zocher is Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. So this is commanding us. This is not just theocentric, this is also what we can call Jew-centric. Shesh Yis Yamim Ta'avod. For some people, that's the hardest mitzvah. Vasisa kol melachtecha, and do all of your work on that day. V'yom ha'shvi'i Shabbos l'Hashem elokecha lo sasa kol melacha, atavincha v'itecha avdecha v'mescha v'imtecha v'ger asher b'sherecha. Who's the ger asher b'sherecha? Who is this ger? How do you know it's the ger toshav? And how do you know it's not a ger tzedek? Because it can't be a ger tzedek, because a ger tzedek is atah. Right, so the ger chasher b'sherecha, well, it depends if you want to say pshat. The ger chasher b'sherecha should be pshat. Should be, you ready? Ger chasher b'sherecha, the pshat should be a ger toshav. who, according to Tosfos, is not allowed to be a Shabbos goy midiraisa. Yes? Yes or no? You know? Should I explain the ger toshav, according to Tosos, what it says that the ger toshav can't do work. Tosos understands it can't possibly be saying ger toshav keeps Shabbos because ger toshav isn't Jewish, so it can't be asked to keep Shabbos. But rather, I'm saying Tosos now. So it says it can't possibly be why because Tosos says that a ger toshav only a shev mitzvah b'nei noach. So if only shev mitzvah b'nei noach, Shabbos is one of them. And they also have a Gemara that says an Ovid Kochavim who keeps Shabbos is Mischayev Benafsho. So therefore, Tosis says it can't be saying that he's Chayev to keep Shabbos, otherwise he has more than Sheva Mitzvos. He was only Mekabel on himself Sheva Mitzvos. So therefore, Tosis says that Midyar Raisa, he can't be a Shabbos guy. So what's the Chiddush of that? Is that generally the idea of a Shabbos guy is a Durabonon. What's the isser of having a guy do work? You'll open up a Shmir Shabbos Kilchah. So you look in the footnote over there. It'll give you three different opinions. I think even it has Rashi saying three different things to what the isser is. Is it mitzad shlichus? It's very difficult to say mitzad shlichus because there's no shlichus for a guy. So how could it be mitzad shlichus? Is it mitzad davir dover that you're not allowed to say certain things? A nafkamina would be. If you asked him before Shabbos, is mitzad shlichus, then it's still asr if he does something on Shabbos. If, on the other hand, it's mitzad midavir dover, so you said him before Shabbos, he didn't break Shabbos anyway, it would be okay. If it's because of davir dover and he asked him to do something after Shabbos, he still can't do it because he spoke about it on Shabbos. Okay? So I'm just saying is that, and I only gave you two, there's a third opinion there as well. As I said, you can open Shemir Shabbos Kachasa, you'll see the footnote there, and you'll work in the Avnei Nezer explaining that Rashi wasn't so sure himself, and Hakol Nimtzashem. So that part is easy. Generally, despite everything that Rashi says, it's a Drabanan. Why is it a Drabanan? Because even Davar Davar is a Drabanan. It's based upon a very important rabbi, Yishayahu Navi, but it still makes it into a Drabanan. What Tosfos says is if the guy was a Ger Toshav, that's this Pasuk already. So this is part of the problem that Rav Kook had to contend with when he came up with the Het to Mechira. Because one of the Isurim that everybody was yelling about is an Isur of Lo Sechonim. You're not allowed to sell land to somebody who's not Jewish and let them be in Israel. Lo Tehenei Chenina Bekarka. You can't give them any place to park, as it were. You can't let them stay here. So one of the fellows on his Beis Din wanted to do Mechadesh, that maybe we can say that even though it's Mashma from the Gemara, and even though it's Mashma from the Rambam, I don't want to say Mashma, even the Rambam says it, because if Mishra claims he didn't say it, but even though that it's Mashma from the Gemara, and the Rambam says that we're not Mekabel Ger Toshav B'zman Hazeh, fellow wonder of Cook's Beis Din wanted to do Mechadesh and say, yeah, we're not Mekabel, but all Muslims accept Shev Mitzvah B'nei Noach. I know that you can question that. They accept them. That's their religious. With Christians, it's a little harder in terms of the Trinity and whatever, but Muslims essentially all accept Shev Mitzvah B'nei Noach. So he said, now, the Kesef Mishnah actually claims that it's true that we don't accept Bizman Hazeh, we don't accept Ger Toshav Bizman Hazeh, but on the other hand, if they do it themselves, they have a din of a ger toshav. That's what Kesef Mishnah writes. Okay, the Ravid seems to say the same thing as well. But what's the problem with this, which Rav Kook then brought up? If he's right, there's no problem selling the land to an Arab, and there's no isser of lo sechonim, now you have a problem, that no Arab can be a Shabbos guy. Because now, according to Tosfos, they all fit into this pasuk. Because it was a basic man of shach. So he wanted to end up with like a briska chakira, this tzvei dinim in a ger toshav. He's a ger toshav regarding Shabbos, but he's not a ger toshav. I don't know how he got. Oh, he's not a ger toshav regarding Shabbos, so therefore he can be a Shabbos goy, and he is regarding over here, so therefore you can sell him the land. But it was not such an easy point. But as I said, Beis Yosef, case of Mishnah holds that applies today. Rashi says something else, but I want to wait till I get to Rashi. I want to hold off for a moment. Let's go back to our problem, because you don't remember what our problem is. What's our problem? Why is Shabbos being repeated? Why is it repeated like so? We already have another time. Why is it repeated so many times? So maybe I can say such a thing like this. Everything in the second half of Sefer Shmos, the default shot that you're going to say about any problem and any solution, you just have to nuance it, is going to be that somehow it's connected to the Chet Egel. And it's also connected. Somehow it's going to be connected to the Chet Egel. How, why, where, that's less important right now. But somehow it's going to be connected to this. So let's try all over again. What's interesting about the psukim over here in the beginning of Vayakhel, and let's try all over again, because I didn't emphasize this strong enough. I want to say it stronger than I did before. Vayakhel Moshe, Moshe gathers the whole people together. What's the date over here? Well, we're not told the date, are we? Rashi tells you the date. What does Rashi say? Which means that Rashi's telling you is that this is what happens when Moshe comes down the second time with the new luchos. Why do you need new luchos? Because of the Cheta Egel, right? Cheta comes back to the Cheta Egel. So, Vayakhel Moshe is called Das Bnei Yisrael v'yomer lehem Eila hadvar mesher tzivah Hashem la'asos osam. This is what God said, which means if you think about it, this is really the first time that Moshe gets to give a shir, right? We call him Moshe Rabbeinu. Soloveitchik thought that was interesting. We don't call him Moshe Goaleinu, the one who took us out. We don't call us Mosheinu. We don't call him Moshe HaMelech, right? I'm saying there's many things you could have called him, but what do we call him? He's Moshe Rabbeinu. Could be that you can understand that as well when he even questions the propriety of him leading the people out. Kodesh Baruch Hu says to him, no, when we get to Har Sinai, at that point it'll be clear. Because Moshe's role is really by Har Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu. So how many times does Moshe get to give a Kshir Klali? How many times does he get to stand up and say and teach Torah? So in a sense, this is really, at least according to Rashi, let's stay with Rashi now, at least according to Rashi, this is the first time he's had the opportunity to talk to the people since when? Since he went up in Perakuf Dalet. So we've just gone through half of the book of Shmos. Moshe has gone up. According to Rashi, the whole tzivui for the Mishkan came after this. And this is the first time he has an opportunity of speaking to the people. So what is it that he says? So again, Vayakhel Moshe, it's called Das Bnei Yisrael. Eila Drim Asher Tzivah Hashem La'asosam. So I want you to think for a second. I'll overstate it. Moshe Rabbeinu has 613 places where to start. So why is he starting specifically over here? So I want to say this on at least three different approaches or three different levels. So let me start like this. I think, again, I don't think we can avoid the Cheta Egel. But one second, you wanted to say something? I don't think we can avoid the Cheta Egel. So I want to say this in the most Pashut way. Just because it's Pashut doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means it's Pashut. Mamish Pashut. Probably means you'll like it the best anyway. Right?
Yes.
Yes. That when the people sinned with the Cheta Egel, what does it say there? It says, Achlu v'shatu v'chomu l'tzachek. Is the people looking for religious experience? And there are a lot of people like this. They need a religious experience. They don't get this religious experience, they'll run to a different religious experience. So what does Moshe Rabbeinu then come in? Where does he realize he has to start with? We're going to teach him about Shabbos. We're going to have a Shabbaton, right? You're all going to come for Shabbaton, and we're going to come. There's going to be good food, and there's going to be drink, and we're going to have fun. We're going to have Ruach. And he gives them religious experience because he realized that's what they need. Too poshut or no? Well, I think the Cheta Egel took care of that, right? I'm being serious about this in terms of pshat. On one level of pshat, that the Cheta Egel... See, if I would have said, you know, gone into Kuzari or other... I think Kuzari says it most clearly, that they needed to build the Mishkan because they needed something tangible, so that all you're going to go for? And I say that they need a religious experience, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu emphasizes Shabbos with them that you don't like? They were not given the laws of Shabbos yet.
Not concretely, but they weren't told.
I know, but they...
experience.
Right, so that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm suggesting over here as at least one possibility, is that why Shabbos, I'm saying Shabbos is a counter in a positive way to the Cheta Egel. You want me to say it in a negative way? I'll say it in a negative way. Is that maybe they need Shabbos, because Shabbos is a counter to Avodah Zarah. When I say Shabbos is a counter to Avodah Zarah, yeah, is there such a thing, such an idea, or no? There's a Gemara that says anybody... Okay. There's also anybody who's Mechal Shabbos as if he's over the Avodah Zarah. So why is being Mechal Shabbos as if you're over the Avodah Zarah? This is actually a very serious halacha. It's a very serious halacha because this is the problem with quote-unquote non-religious Jews today in terms of touching the wine. Yes, is this a serious problem or not a serious problem? You go to a restaurant and the waitress wearing pants, which now you're going to assume because of what I just now said, that therefore she's not religious, she says to you, should I open the bottle or do you want to open the bottle? So what do you say? Yeah, so this is a serious issue. You have non-religious people at your table. So you have to make sure that all the yayin's mavushal. Yes, of course. But the reason why it's a problem is actually because not the Gemara, it's because of Rashi on the Gemara. This is going to Chulin, Daf Hei. It's what Rashi says there. Rashi says, whoever is Machalo Shabbos is made, right? He attests that a Kodesh Baruch Hu did not create the world. That's what Rashi says. That being Machalo Shabbos is like Avodah Zarah because you're being made the Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't create the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. Now, if you're asking me seriously about Halacha L'maisa in the world today, so I have to qualify that a little bit, because the world today has been impacted over the last couple hundred years. So I'll mention two poskim who went in two opposite ways to deal with this. I'll mention a third posek. I'll mention the third one first, but you don't know who's first or second or third. The third one was Rav Yaakov Ettlinger, the Aruch Haner. So in his Shas and Tshuvas, his Shas and Tshuvas, they're really interesting, called the Binyan Sion. So in his Shas and Tshuvas, he brings up and he says, in our generation, again, this is 150 years ago in Germany, in our generation, there are people, Machal Shabbos, but they make Kiddush on Friday night. So they say, they're made, the Kodesh Baruch created the world, and then they're Machal Shabbos afterwards, they go to work the next day. So he says, how can we look at these people? Because somebody asked him, should we be treating them in such a way like the Ovdei Avodah Zarah and the Ein is Nesach? So he starts the whole tshuva and saying, Pi Adin, you're right. Every word you said is right. Except I have one problem, and that's the problem of Metzias today. In theory, you're right, but the Metzias is just not the case. So then what do we do? And he ends up the tshuva, you want to be Machmir, be Machmir, but I think that there's room to be Mekel, because I just basically says, I don't think it's true. Now, that tshuva is incredibly important, because if you look around most non-Shomer Shabbos Israelis, was that okay? I'm very, very careful with that sentence. Most non-Shomer Shabbos Israelis fit into that category. If you ask them, they'll believe that God exists, God created, especially with this Sephardi. Yeah. Do you keep Shabbos? Well, it doesn't say in the Torah you can't drive a car. By the way, some of them may not light a cigarette, because it's lighting a fire. Our parsha. On the other hand, what would they do? They would put on the television, whatever. Certainly, go to a soccer game. That was the example for the last 80 years or so. So it's very difficult. I mean, all the Mesorati Israelis who go to shul on Friday night, who come home and make kiddush, and the wife lights the candles, and then the television is on afterwards. So that's really what the Aruch Haner is talking about. So what do you do with them? Are you going to say that these people are made, and saying Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't create the world, and therefore they're like Ovdei Avodah Zarah? And therefore, if they're like Ovdei Avodah Zarah, so now what do you have to say? So therefore their wine becomes wine of Ovdei Avodah Zarah, so therefore the Yayin is Stam Yayinim, and you can't drink the wine. Now what happens if this is not true? When I say it's not true, what if it's not true anymore? So the one who was Mechadish, an unbelievable Chiddush, was the one who said that you're not allowed to be Mechadish any Chiddushim today. Of course, that's the Chassam Sofer, right? Chadash Asim in the Torah. So the Chassam Sofer was Mechadish, an unbelievable Chiddush, and he wanted to claim, if you keep your store open on Shabbos and didn't do one deraisa, you're still considered to be Mechal Shabbos for Hesia, and your Yayin is all Aser. Why? Because he said, who said it has to be Lamates Malachos to be considered to be a Mechal Shabbos for Hesia? By the way, and I say this parenthetically, the Mishnah Berurah Paskins, if you look for it, you won't find it, because it's not in Hilchos Shabbos, it's in Hilchos Erevin. Now you'll find it. The Mishnah Berurah Paskins, that if you are embarrassed, you're Mechal Shabbos for Hesia. But there's one person even in the world that you're embarrassed to be Mechal Shabbos in front of him. You're not considered to be Mechal Shabbos D'oraisa. It's because you're embarrassed. He says this. He says this L'maisa in terms of being Mitzaref L'Erev. Years ago, I had a neighbor who was Mechal Shabbos for Hesia. And he was proud of it. He's an apikores. He claims he learned by the Chazon Ish. I don't know. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. He knew a little bit. I don't know. But he claims he learned by the Chazon Ish. And he claims that he's a Mechal Shabbos. Whatever. He once told me a story that he grew up in the neighborhood where Rabbi Levine was the rabbi. So he said that Rabbi Levine once saw him and he had a cigarette in his hands. So he sort of put the cigarette in back of him and he dropped it on the floor and he put it out so he wouldn't catch him with the cigarette. So I said, say that again. He said, Rabbi Aryeh Levine, who's a tzaddik, I was in Mechal Shabbos. I said, that's it. You're not a Mechal Shabbos Dereis anymore. So you're embarrassed in front of Aryeh Levine, Mishnah Berurah Paskins. I never saw a guy so disappointed. He was embarrassed. By the way, he also wouldn't be Mechal Shabbos in front of me. not that whatever. We had a very nice relationship, and I never gave him a hard time at anything. So he actually was very, very nice to me. But it was so Lachsam Sof went in that direction. Rav Yisrael Salanter, they say, he had to run away from Vilna. There's a whole story that. And he ends up getting to this town near, which was a port, was the biggest port in Europe, a city in Germany. And he became the rabbi there. And the people come to shul on Friday night, and then, or maybe Lahefech, nobody came to shul, but he was working, they come Shabbos. I forgot exactly how it was, but he sees, everybody's Mechal Shabbos. Everybody there is Mechal Shabbos. So instead of yelling at them like Chassam Sofer did, and what do you, and by the way, you can't use one example to the other example. I mean, there are different times, different places, whatever. For Yisrael Salanter said, he started asking, they said, the whole city runs on the port. That's where all the money is, all the livelihood. So Yisrael Salanter told them, okay, I understand that you all have to work on Shabbos, but nobody should smoke a cigarette while they're working. Only do what you have to do. And then he told them, and he kept giving them more and more chumras and things to do in order to minimize, and in the end, he was makariv people. That's what they say of Yisrael Salanter. So it's also, how do you deal with this is interesting. Halacha l'maisa today, if somebody was sitting at my table and was a mechalo Shabbos, or I suspected they were, but I didn't know, you're dealing with maybe a drabanan, because the wine of a guy when they were mechalo Shabbos was asked me to raise a why? Because of Yain Nesech. Afterwards, we have a drabanan of Stam Yainim by a guy. Now you have a chiddush like this to say, oh, if a Jew doesn't keep Shabbos, he has a din of a machal Shabbos, of an Ovid of Avodah Zarah, so therefore he has a din of a guy, and therefore his wine is also. Who said that the din drabanan of Stam Yainim goes over to a Jew because of this? Because you can say, ah, because somebody's machal Shabbos is really made. It's very difficult to say. Yes, you hear what I'm saying? Well, it's very difficult just to go that far. So you deal with something which is maybe a drabanan and embarrassing the person and screaming, don't touch the wine over there, could certainly be an issa d'oraisa. So I see no question whatsoever is that you let it slide. I'm sorry for saying this. You let it slide because I'm not convinced that there's an issa to begin with. I'm not convinced the issa replies today. I'm not convinced the Mechal Shabbos is a din of Mechal Shabbos, which is the Chiddush Arach Lener. So I'm not convinced that this is the right way that you conduct yourself. Unless you go to the right yeshivas, then you know the most important thing is to prove that you're... Okay, I'll stop. So let me try. I mean, when you go back for Pesach, it's very important to make as many people feel inadequate as you can. I mean, that's the purpose. Then you get your money's worth from being in yeshiva, right? So now, I said over Tosas before by the Ger Toshav. I want to say now this flip side of Rashi. Because the flip side of Rashi may help us a lot for this. Rashi writes in a couple of places, no one's going to believe me that he says it, so I have to back up a step. There's a three-way machlokas in the Gemara, what is a ger toshav? One opinion, which everyone thinks, because that's it, that's all you remember, is that somebody who's mekayim shev mitzvahs b'nei noach. Okay? There are actually more opinions of it, so I want to just look at Rashi over here in Yevamos. Rashi writes, this is Memches Amid Beis. Rashi writes as follows: Ger Toshav Shekibul Olav Shalola Avod Avodus Kochavim the Ochel Nevelos. So I'm pausing. There's more of Rashi, but first I have to explain what he wrote so far. Rashi holds that what makes you into Ger Toshav, there's only one thing that you have to be mekabel on yourself. Not Shev Mitzvah Bnei Noach. What do you have to be mekabel on yourself? Not to be Ovid Avodus Kochavim. That's all that you need to be mekabel to be Ger Toshav. And where did he get it from? It's one of the Shittos. And he says, but he's Ochel Nevelos. Why is he Ochel Nevelos? Because it says in the Torah, what do you do with Nevelos? You give it to the Ger, Ger Sherecha. So that's almost the definition of what a Ger Toshav is. His Hirer HaKosav Al HaShabbos, but the Torah specified that he has to keep Shabbos. I will warn you, are there other ways to read this Rashi? I just translated it as I like. You disagree with me if you don't like the way I read it. His Hiru HaKosav Al HaShabbos, and the Torah commanded, yes, do you like this way or no? Okay, what do you want? How do you want to translate it? His Hiru HaKosav Al HaShabbos, the Mechalel Es HaShabbos Ka'ovid Avodos Kochavim. Because whoever is Mechalel Shabbos is as if he's Ovid Kochavim. So Rashi just now said that a Ger Toshav has to keep Shabbos. He says it. Rashi says, but why does Rashi hold that the Ger Toshav has to keep Shabbos? Because he just said, because Rashi holds whoever breaks Shabbos is made Eidus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't create. And Rashi just said that what does a Ger Toshav need to expect to accept on himself? No Avodah Zarah, which means keeping Shabbos. Because what is Shabbos now? So what is Shabbos then according to Rashi? I say this again. Do you see it's connected to our parsha yet? What is... It's Eidus that Avodah Zarah is Sheker. It's a total denial of Avodah Zarah. It's a statement and belief that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. So now I'm going to say, now I'm going to try the second time. This you like better now? Because this was fancier? Yes? You all got the conclusion that I just now didn't say it? Why do we have Parshas Vayakha now to start with Shema? Because they were guilty of the golden calf. So what do they need? They need Shema. So I said before they need Shabbos. For what reason? They need Shabbos because they needed Shabbaton. They needed food. They needed drink. They needed Simcha. So now I'm saying the other way around. No. They needed the Machshava, the Hashkafa of Shabbos, if you will. They needed a lesson in Shabbos. Why? Because there's nothing else that we do. Maybe Shema. That's why Shema was in my head. We needed a message to understand that a Kaddish Baruch Hu runs the world, a Kaddish Baruch Hu created the world, a Kaddish Baruch Hu is in charge, and not Elo Elohecha Yisrael. So what I'm saying now is that, again, I'm saying all this comes out according to Rashi, that it could be that Shabbos is the perfect thing to teach at this particular juncture because that's what we need at this point. Good? Yes, you like that better? Should we bother with the third one? You're excited. The third one I want to say like this. I became more and more convinced of this as Shabbos last week, as Shabbos wore on. Friday night, my father asked me a question. I knew what he was going to ask me before he asked it, because I saw what page he was on. And he wanted to know...
Page
in
what?
In the Chumash. And he wanted to know... My father's a Talmud Chacham, by the way. He wanted to know why now, in last week's Parsha, Kitisa, why there, it talks about Shabbos again, that's number four, why there when it talks about Shabbos, it talks about death. No?
I mean, it does here too.
Right, but it did there first. Now, last week is Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Yud Bet, or Yud Bez for you. It's after all of the discussion about the Mishkan, which is going on and on and on and on. So, essentially, we've had the Mishkan from Kaf Hei to Lamed Aleph, right? Straight Mishkan things. And then, in the middle of Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Bez, Vayomer Shem El Moshe Lemor, Vatad Daber El B'nei Yisrael Lemor, Achas Shab Sosai Tishmoru, Ki Os Hi B'nei Yivenechem, Dor Seichel, Ndaski Ani Hashem, Mikadishchem, Ushmartim Es Shabbos, Ki Kodesh Hilachem, Mechaleh Mos Yumos, Ki Kolos Ebo Melacha, V'nichus HaNefesh Himi Kerav HaMeah, Sheish Es Mim Yaseh Melacha, V'yom Hashvi Shabbos Shabbaton, Kodesh La Hashem, Kol Osa Melacha, V'yom Shabbos Mos Yumos. V'shomer b'nei Yisrael Shabbos, l'sosa Shabbos, l'or son, b'ri salam, b'ni v'b'im b'ni Yisrael, o'si l'am k'sheshim r'sa Hashem es Hashemayim es Haaretz, u'v'yom Hashvi Shavas v'yinafash. So you want to know why there's so much death over there. I mean, it's such, so depressing. Why can't we be a little more positive? Why can't we go back to the Shabbaton and so on? Why can't we just talk about the food and the drink and be happy? So here's what I think. What's the next pasuk right after this? Sometimes the next pasuk is important. Next, so as I said, everything was about the Mishkan. Stop. We have 3, 4, 5. How many? Sukkim about Shabbos. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then what's the next pasuk? Vayitein el Moshe kichalosolu daberi to bahar Sinai shnei luchos ha'edus luchos seven k'suvim ve'etz be'elokim. So those of you who like symmetry, there are people who give very boring interpretations of Chumash, which is based upon symmetry and based upon structure and based upon things like this. Why don't we can pull out some fancy words in literature? Chiastic structures, right? You like these things. We don't have much patience for this. But notice that the last thing that we have before we receive the first luchos was Shabbos, which really stands out of the way. Like, it shouldn't be there. Mishkan, Mishkan, Mishkan. Shabbos, Cheta Egel in between, Moshe David, Moshe goes up, second Luchos, Moshe comes down, first law which is taught is Shabbos, and then a whole bunch of stuff about the Mishkan. I can even convince you, if you knew what a chiastic structure was, maybe I can even convince you that this is it. So, for those of us who just lost me, Mishkan, 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 Shabbos, Shabbos, Mishkan, Mishkan, Mishkan. So structurally, there's something interesting that just now happened. So of course, all that we need to do, and maybe even this answers your question, but maybe, you think, which question? But maybe we need to understand a little bit better, before, maybe we need to understand a little bit better what Shabbos is doing over here. Okay, now I want to try again. What's the pasuk after and God vayitena Hashem al Moshe chasol diberi to Bar Sinai? What's the next pasuk after the end of Perek Lamed Aleph? What's the first pasuk of Lamed Beis? Vayar ha'am kibosher shmo shelaredus menahar. Remember, I told you that the most important thing over here will end up being the chayte egel. So here is this crazy, crazy thought that I had, and this is then going to help us a lot. The last thing that a Kodesh Baruch Hu does, well, unless you want to say the last thing, is he hands him the Luchos. But what does he teach him before he hands him the Luchos? Shabbos. So Moshe's handed the Luchos right after he learned about Shabbos. What's going on down below? Okay, if we go to our split screen, any of you remember there's things like, okay. So you have a split screen. You have Moshe Rabbeinu up above learning Torah with the Kodesh Baruch Hu on top of the mountain. What's he learning? He's learning Dinei Shabbos. And what are the people doing down below? What are they doing? They're doing Avodah Zarah. So again, our Avodah Zarah Shabbos, what do you want to call it? Tension exists, but there's something over here which I think is much better. So after we get to the whole description of the Cheta Ego, we'll skip all of that. And then a Kaddish Baruch Hu, like meanwhile, back on the mountain, which is Perek Lamed Beis Pasuk Zayin, by Deber Hashem Moshe, Lech Reid, go down. Now which time does he go down? He's ready to give him the Luchos. So therefore, I know that the way that we would like to look at this, there's Moshe's been frozen, like he's like standing there because he handed him the Luchos, and he's waiting for God to... No. He's been teaching him about Shabbos, and then he hands him Luchos, and then he says, go down. Lech Reid. Which means that when he was teaching about Shabbos, the people are busy. Now, but let's continue what he said, Kodesh Baruch Hu says. And remember what's going on down below. Down below, they're in the midst of their eagle frenzy. Sor maher, right, he goes, Ki shiches amcha, asher leisim eretz Yisrael, sor maher min aderech, asher leisim, asu lam eagle masecha, v'yishtach v'lo, v'yizbechulo, v'yim elu hech Yisrael, and so on. V'yom asher Moshe, v'yizes amazevine am kshe orevhu, v'tahinichali, that's the hint, of course, right, if you also Rashi last week, Hinichali, don't let me go so I can do something about it. From there, Moshe understands he can't let him go. Hinichali, v'yichara pi bahem v'achalim v'seotcha l'goy gadol. I'll destroy them and make you into a great nation. So therefore, Kodesh, basically the future of the Jewish people right here is in the balance. Moshe has to daven. So Moshe davens, and we end up getting, what do you call it in English? A mashkanta. We get a... That's better than collateral. Mashkanta. I know that's a mortgage. So we get to pay off the thing little by little over a long, long, long time. Can we go back and pay attention to this thing about Shabbos? I want to read these psukim now with the new thought in mind. What's my new thought in mind? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying this to Moshe as the Am Yisrael is preparing the egel. They're ripping their earrings off and they're throwing it inside of the thing and Vayetzia Egel is there. All this is happening below as Moshe is learning the last shear above. And what's that? He's learning about Shabbos. So what does the Kodesh Baruch Hu say over here at the end of Lamed Aleph in Shabbos? Now again, what bothered my father? It talks about death. Okay, hold on to that because that's important. The death is very important. Again, Vayomer Hashem Moshe Lemor Vatada Ber B'nei Yisrael. Lamor, do you all have in mind that they're sinning below right now? And Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to tell Moshe, I'm destroying them. That's it. It's over. Achet shep sosai tishmoru. What's that ach mean? I know. Ach v'chalik, whatever. Just make sure you keep Shabbos. Ki osi b'niu v'neichem, because this is the sign. L'doro seichem. Do you like the word l'doro seichem right now in this context? Doro seichem is unbelievable right here. But no. Because he used the word L'Doro Seichem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said L'Doro Seichem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said L'Doro. This is going to be a sign forever. L'Das Ki Ani Hashem Mekadesh Chem. Because the Shabbos is going to be the oath that I'm the one who sanctified you. And again, just keep in mind what's going on below. Ushmartem es haShabbos ki kodesh ilachem michalalei hamos yumas. So when are people going to die? If they break the Shabbos, they're going to die. So what is that? What's the implication of everything I just now said? That somehow Am Yisrael is going to survive this. And again, right afterwards, it says it again. Ki kol sabo malacha v'nichvaso nefesh hi mikerav hameh. Sheishis mim yaseh malacha. Again, it will say again, "V'shomrinis as a Shabbos lidoro sam bris olam." This is a covenant between me and Am Yisrael forever. Which means this is—that's why I think this is unbelievable parsha right here. At the very same moment, it's the only chiddush I'm saying over here. That it was—it's at the exact same moment. What? It's at the exact same moment they're sinning with the Egel Azov, and what's the Kaddish Baruch Hu saying to Moshe? I'm going to make a covenant with you forever. Forever, bris olam, forever, you keep the Shabbos forever. Oh, who breaks the Shabbos, they're going to die. I can almost say, I don't mean this, but I can almost say, they're supposed to die because of the Chayta Egel, but if you keep Shabbos, you're not going to die. Oh, but if you break Shabbos, you're going to die. Why? Because you're supposed to die anyway. It's like, it takes away some of the sting. Why does somebody break Shabbos, they're going to die? Because they were all supposed to die by the Chayta Egel. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, I'm wiping everybody out. So what, lahefech, this is like a play on Achad Ha'am. What did Achad Ha'am say? About Shabbos? You all know it, you just don't know that he said it. Chara'am was the one who said, more than the Jews kept Shabbos, Shabbos kept the Jews. Chara'am was a non-religious Israeli Hebrew essayist who was anti-Herzl because he thought Herzl was too secular, and he was in favor of Jewish culture, but he himself wasn't actually religious. He was brought up in a religious home, but he felt that certain Jewish things were important. So he said, so he's the one, I know people quoted, I've seen people quote a Chazal said it, there's no such Chazal. His name was Usher Ginsburg, was his real name, Achad Am, there are streets named after him. Achad Am is the one who said, more than the Jews kept Shabbos, Shabbos kept the Jews. Now, I know he said it on a historical sense, that's what kept us different, and he thought that was very important. But what's really interesting to me is that I don't believe he ever thought of that in terms of biblical exegesis as a parshan saying this.
What's that word?
Parshan.
No, the other one.
An exegete is a parshan. I said it in English, I said it in Hebrew. Someone who's mifaresh the Torah. An exegete. Rashi is a prime exegete, if we'll speak English. But I don't believe that Achad Am said this as saying pshat in the Chumash. He was saying this sociologically and historically. I'm saying it is pshat in the Chumash. What is it that kept the Jews alive by the Chayta Egel? Where's the guarantee that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said they're going to be here forever? That we have a covenant forever. But what's that covenant? That covenant is Shabbos. So once I said pshat like this, that you realize the significance of that parsha of Shabbos back there at the same time as the Chayta Egel, introduced right before the Chayta Egel, but therefore I'm saying at the same time, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu now is making, he's introducing Shabbos again, fourth time. Why at this point? Why is it being said? And saying, I'm making a covenant with you, and you're going to last forever and keep the Shabbos. So it's, I'm saying, to me, it's pasha, what I'm saying now. It's totally pasha. That the reason Kodesh Baruch Hu, the reason that Moshe in this week's parasha starts with the Shema, because he knows the Shema is, which, sorry, I'm keep saying it again. Why does he start with the Shabbos? Because he knows that it's the Shabbos that kept them alive. He knows that it's the Shabbos, which is the new covenant, as it were. I don't want to say New Testament, and we'll get into lots of trouble. It's Shabbos is this thing which is going to save the people from the Chayta Egel. Now take everything that I said, because I don't believe any of the interpretations I said are mutually exclusive for one another. I think that they're all true. I think in terms of religious experience, you shouldn't be searching for religious experience with the Egel. Shabbos can give you the religious experience. I think in terms of the machshava of what Shabbos is a testimony that God created, and therefore that's so important. But on top of all that, Shabbos is also a covenant, and Shabbos is what kept us alive despite the Chayta Egel. So for all of these reasons, it makes perfect sense why of all of the mitzvahs that we have, when Moshe gathers together, by Yaakov Moshe, it's been Israel, he gathers them all together, so of course he's going to teach them Shabbos, because he realizes that's why they're still around, and that's why they'll continue to be around, and that's why we're still around today as Jews, because we have this understanding that we are different and we have to keep the Shabbos, and more than any other aspect of Judaism, that's really what has kept us here. But my point is, it's very possible, if not likely, that that's what kept the Jews at that moment when HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have said, that's it, it's over, we made a deal, you broke the deal, it's over. So it's no. Shabbos is going to keep us. Now we start all over again, Vayakel, and go over all the information that we had beforehand, because now we have a new covenant, and now we have a deal, and we're going to move forward, and we're always going to remember the thing that gives us our Kedusha. That's what it says in these Pesukim. The thing that gives us our Kedusha is Shabbos.